Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Who are the coolest dudes on the planet?
United States veterans.
What's the coolest sport on the planet?
Pro wrestling.
And what would be the coolest podcast on the planet? That would be this one.
U.S. military vets talking pro wrestling.
This is the No Shave Man Cave. Two badass disabled vets sharing their love of pro wrestling, giving you their perspective as fans, talking about current events and matches, history of titles, and who knows what else. Let's do it.
Welcome to the No Shave Men Cave. Now your hosts, Ellie Jair and Jay Tilly.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wrestling fans, and sports entertainment fans, welcome to the No Shave Man Cave. I'm Ellie Jair.
I am Jay Tilly.
And welcome to the Wednesday Rundown AEW Production Dynamite. Man, what do you think? Crowd wasn't too shabby out of the show me state of Missouri in the city of St. Louis. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I thought the crowd was actually way hot. I think... And I'm usually not one, like we talked about in the last episode, to really pay attention to crowd stuff. But I think if the crowd wasn't as hot and live as they were, the opening match probably wouldn't have been as good as it was. No offense to Matt Hardy, but he's been there, done that. I'm kind of like, okay. But man, that hot opener between Jungle Boy and Matt Hardy, great match. And I think the crowd definitely helped that. The way Matt Hardy was over, the interactions with Ethan, Obviously, we're jumping right into it. I was excited about this whole Dynamite in general. But my only thing that distracted me that I didn't like, and actually, I think it's probably the only thing on the entire show I didn't like, was Hook. It was just kind of not in his character to come out. Like, I kind of get that he's feuding with Ethan Page a little bit, but like Jungle Boy kind of kicked him to the side a while back. So I don't know if they're going to like play into this whole thing and it's going to end up becoming a Hook. Like, maybe Hook and Jungle Boy coming out of the pay-per-view. Like, Hook on a heel run. I'm not sure. It was just kind of weird. It didn't fit. But the match itself, I was pretty impressed with. The work rate for both was great. I mean, even considering that, Matt Hardy's bump card's getting up there.
Yeah.
He was able to do enough with Jungle Boy to make you kind of not realize he wasn't doing a lot. So, it was pretty good. Having Jungle Boy go over, even though it's Matt Hardy and he doesn't have the same prestige as he does when he was in WWE, having him go over, though, I think was still a statement. Like, okay, he's got wins. And he's been on a winning streak. He beat Christian Cage just recently. So, good stuff. And then that MJF promo after.
Oh, man. Yeah, I thought Jungle Boy moved one step closer to being Jack Perry. I really enjoyed the match, the action on the side of the ring. I don't know if anyone knows this, but the apron is the hardest part of the ring. And, oh, just like whenever you see people setting up for something on the, you know, on the apron, I'm like, hey, breaking news. It's really hard right there. And they, like you said, I mean, Hardy's bump card is damn, you know, 20 years deep. He dealt with a lower back and hip issue where his lower back, the L5 and S1, which is your tailbone and the first vertebrae, fused itself together. Oof. And like just out of self-preservation. So good for Hardy, you know, for still grinding it out, going with one of the pillars. I think it took one step closer to being Jack Perry or some new version of him. Great, 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 great. I don't know how many greats I could give this. The promo from Jack, if you know MJF is going to give you gold when he starts running his suck. You know he's going to banter the fans. He's going to let, you know, some woman in the crowd that he'll say, and you, I think you're a disgusting, yep, typical St. Louis, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he's going to talk up Long Island or the next show because he hates where he is and he just wants to get to what's next. And they're going to be in New York next episode. So I thought it was strong. And like you said, a really, really strong start to the card. And I'm trying to figure out what Hook's character is. I think they're going to repackage him. And that may be a step toward it. Maybe because Ethan didn't come back down. Hook didn't come back down. Maybe, I don't know if like trying to run like what AEW and the Magic Pencil's doing. I don't think Hook becomes a casualty of the Blackpool Combat Club.
No.
But, I think they'll come up with something different for him. And it'll make sense and help get Ethan Page back on track. So, like, a lot of wrestlers on that card that are sort of at the four-way stop at 2 in the morning. You're sober, but you don't want to run the light. But Starks is kind of marking time. You got Ethan Page kind of marking time. Not really sure what they're doing. And Hook is another one of those, like, not necessarily like Lacey Evans bad where they stop, start, you're a heel, you're a face, you're this, you're that. But I think if they could repackage them and put a rocket on, maybe not Hook's back, because I'd like to see what's going to happen with the pillars. That is, man, I can't stand it. That is going to be a fun, fun program. Oh. And,
The way they're building the four-way pillars match is going to be interesting because so four-way matches happen all the time and it's always kind of been like, meh, you know, like it's just four dudes. They beat each other. They're building these layers upon layers of story in this to where in the match you can have Darby Allin going against Jungle Boy in almost a singles match and then Darby Allin and Sammy and then MJF and Sammy and all these permutations of the four of them intertwining is great. And then the promo, like MJF putting over Jungle Boy and saying like, hey, we left that match and I was convinced you were one like just like me. And then the whole gist of the promo of being, I'm the devil on your shoulder. You should have listened to me because you and I could have run this place.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, him saying, well, I'm the angel on the shoulder. No, I'm going to do this the right way. And his line where he said, I'm going to do it to where when I wake up with a championship, I'm not waking up alone and hating who I see in the mirror. What a line, man. Like, I was like, get him, Jungle Boy.
Yeah, that's one of those seed plants that, you know, 9 months to a year later, that's going to come up again because it's those nuggets where you're like, okay, I'm going to hang on to this for Jungle Boy because he hasn't given me that. He hasn't given me that ever.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang on to that one so I can use it. And then you can grab the four pillars in the ring a couple weeks ago, and you can grab some of those pieces out from Darby Allin and I liked how they kept going to the back and showing Darby Allin and Guevara watching. I was like, man, that is smooth. And then you hear MJF's music hit, and I'm like, shoo. That's gonna be nice. And then, you know, seeing Jack get the upper hand and the heel leaving, I'm interested to see what's gonna happen with the scarf. And again, it's those little details, yeah. Right? You're like, is he gonna stop wearing the scarf? Is Jack gonna start showing up with the scarf? Is the scarf gonna mean nothing? And I'm just reading into it.
It's AEW lets you do that, though.
Yeah.
So like, we'll get into some stuff later on in the show that definitely you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about, so next week they've announced, MJF Appreciation Night. And they're in Long Island, which is where he's from. So I think next week is Sammy Guevara's turn. And the reason is, you know, MJF's going to get a hero's welcome in Long Island. He always is treated like a face when he goes to Long Island. So I think you get Sammy to come out because Sammy's a heel. He's working a heel. And you get him to come out to play the heel and interrupt, you know, MJF's Appreciation Day. Ooh. And now you've got Sammy getting his turn at it and being able to get his turn to interact with MJF. And then next week you get Darby. And then maybe next week you get MJF, or you don't even get MJF. You get Darby and Sammy in the ring. And then you get – they have so much they can do on these promos and then the matches. It's such a good build. So good.
Yeah, it's real smart. It's been smart. It's super smart, very strong. It's keeping everyone interested I'm here for it. I'm excited.
And the thing about it is it doesn't have to end at the pay-per-view with the four-way.
Yeah.
Because it's something that they could spin off into so many feuds, and this could go to two or three pay-per-views down the road till we finally get a conclusion of it. You mentioned Blackpool Combat Club and that storyline. Oh man, good stuff. And it's interesting because you had mentioned to me, I think it was at work or in text or something, about how you felt like they were the NWO and interfering in all these matches. I didn't see that. Like, I just see them specifically targeting the Elite because they had a match with Dalton Castle and the boys. So they attack them on the way to the ring, throw them in the wing and pin them. So that was their match of the night. And then the Hangman piece. And then just throughout the show, they were specifically targeting Omega. It's not like they interfered in everything else. So I guess I could see it, but.
Yeah, that's smart. That's smart. That's a good way to put it. I think I was just looking at it because of how, and I'm, you know what? I'm just a victim of my WWE brain on how you're going to see at the start of the match or at the start of the show, they're in the parking garage. And then you're going to see them in a vignette in the middle of the show. And then you see them in the main event. So it just seemed like, oh, geez, here's the Blackpool Combat Club again. That's a good point because it wasn't just I'm going to hit everybody, although it looked like that at the end. But it was, like you said, it's the Elite. Those were the only ones there that took the shot. So, yeah, it made sense.
Yeah, and then I talked about, like, intricate things you try to read into. And this Don Callis stuff, man. So him in with Kenny Omega and, like, admitting, like, oh, like, he didn't punch me, I fell. And then kind of planting that seed, like, why would you think he would hit me? Like, what in your friendship makes you doubt him? And I love how under his breath, Kenny Omega's like, well, he's done it before. And then, you know, then he's like, well, I'm going to go find him. We're going to work this out. And he walks up to Hangman. And I love how he's got his hand out to shake his hand. And then, he gets the beat down. And he's just kind of standing there very awkwardly with his hand out the whole time. And then, obviously, they turn on him and beat him down, too. It was just beautiful storytelling. And, unfortunately, he took that bump. And if you watch it back, you can hear his head hit that metal piece. And it's like, oof,
I saw a couple of clips of it. And I was like, oh, man, that is not going to buff out. And
that's the hard way right there.
Yeah. So, and you know what Don Callis's Twitter handle is, right?
The Invisible Hand.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think there's something else there. And I don't know if he's changed his handle or like his Twitter name recently. I think there's something there, and good, bad, or indifferent, I think there's money to be made with, you know, with something going on. So I'm here for it. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because, so he's been the Invisible Hand for a while. And he's always talked about how he has controlled Kenny Omega and helped him push. And my whole thing with his storyline with Kenny, with Don Callis and Kenny specifically, is he trying to separate him from the Bucks because he looks like, well, the Bucks with him, they lost and the Bucks aren't worth it. Is he trying to partner him with Takeshita down the road and then build Takeshita for his next cash cow? Or is he wanting to keep Kenny single so that he can milk him for all these big matches? Jeff Cobb, he's doing, who's he got next? Who's he got next week? Anyway, he's doing all these big dream matches, Vikingo, Jeff Cobb, and it's going to bother me because it's a big match next week too. But he's like, I'm going to hit him for all these big matches because I can see he's wearing down. I can't get much more out of him. And then I'm going to flip and go to Takeshita and start building Takeshita up and then kind of betray Kenny. But in the meantime, I've got to break the relationship with him and Hangman, so he's got nowhere to turn to. There's all these little directions it can go with, and I'm just like, wow. Or is he working with the Blackpool Combat Club, and he's wanting them to destroy the Elite? I don't know where they're going to go with it, and I can't wait to find out. And that's what I love about it. Like, this story thread is top-notch, is as good as story can get in wrestling, in my opinion. And then one of the things I was also going to say is, so I said it a while back when Kenny was hurt, and then I said it when he was out on his 8-month, Tony Khan needs Kenny Omega.
Yes.
Because I think Kenny Omega goes in there, and I think he sits in production meetings, and I think he helps with the pacing of the show. I think he helps with the storytelling, the booking, because there is a distinct difference in the product when Kenny Omega is not in the building. The flow, I mean, this show from top to bottom was great. I enjoyed every part of it. So we have the attack, and then we've got, which another brilliant thing is, you've got Kenny sitting there in the go position, ready to go out to start. And Tony Schiavone comes up and goes, hey, I just wanted to let you know what happened. And Kenny's like, what? He jumped. Well, I got a match. I got to focus on my match. And then we go to the match, which was good. It wasn't top tier, oh my gosh, Will Ospreay by Kingo.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought it was a very good match. I enjoyed it. The story they told in it of a couple things I noticed. Well, first of all, is I noticed since he was defending the IWGP US title, he came out to his Japanese music, which I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like
that, I really liked the entrance. I thought the mood was really good. And then plus, he's dealing with the distractions and everything. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So,
and then, Jeff Cobb, man, that's a big dude. He does some really good stuff. It was a great match. Enjoyed it a lot.
I'd like to see Cage go against Omega before Cage's contract is up, because my WWE brain has got Cage going up against Braun Strowman. I don't think he'll do a card with Lesnar, because Lesnar doesn't have time for that. I think him and Karrion Kross would be a lot of fun. So, there's a lot of big people money to be made with Cage over there at Cage with WWE. So we'll see what they end up doing. But yeah, so they, a couple of backstage, vignettes and stuff. And like you said, the distraction from Tony, I'm thinking, Tony, what the hell are you doing, dude? But
And I love how he kind of tried to justify it during the match by saying, oh man, he's like, I thought it was going to motivate him to get in there and do the business. He goes, I wasn't thinking. And I love how Taz gave him shit about it. And
yeah,
I thought it was great.
Yeah. So you get backstage peace with Callis and Omega. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to make it right. And then JAS courting the Acclaim, and both of that, like the Acclaim, I mean, I really like their character. Matt Menard and Angelo, take them, leave them, do whatever. I think they would have a good program because of their mic skills. It's pretty funny. And you cut to a commercial, and then bam, you got Dalton and the boys laid out on the walkway. And then I blink three times,
and the match is over.
You got the Ring of Honor World Champion pinning, and they go back up through the fans. I'm like, oof, that was pretty crisp. And so you're like, okay, so they're still
in the building.
They're still circling the ring like sharks that smell blood. And man,
I want to talk about the Acclaimed courting thing. So at first I was a little mad about it. I'm like, because thank you to Michael Sidgwick, because he's got this in my brain now and it messes me every time, is the invisible camera thing. And I was like, oh, like We all know there's a camera there. Like, I hate that they pretend the camera's not there. The Elite do a good job because they like to say Brandon's carrying the camera, so that's why they catch stuff on video. When I watched it back today, I realized that it was one of the 2.0 guys go, hey, and we bought our own camera guy with us. I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm cool with the whole thing. Like, it makes it so much better than just some random person walking around with a camera crew. So I was like, okay, like I bought that better. And the thing about the Dalton Castle and the boys coming out, which I liked, and I didn't catch it till my second watch either, was, you know, they've got their little dancers in the back that do the peacock dance. Well, as they're walking down, you slowly see like Moxie just blitz through all those guys, and you see them all just go flying like a cartoon. And it's just kind of in the background. And yeah, that beatdown, like, I feel bad because I think I like Dalton Castle. I think he's a great character. I think it's fun to watch him. But yeah, Blackpool Comica didn't play. And then, yeah, and then that's when they ended up going backstage and getting Hangman and Don Callis. And yeah, so I skipped all that, but I was just so excited about talk about Blackpool Comic Club and everything.
Yeah, I like Jeff Cobb. I mean, he's popped up on a couple of shows. He did. I've seen some of his work in New Japan. And for a dude to be that big and that athletic, super, super fun. And I thought it was a really good match. And I saw some of the Twitter warriors talking about how it was a subpar match for Kenny. And my comment is, I will take a subpar match every day if that's going to be subpar.
Right.
And, you know, we were talking about Matt Hardy's bump card earlier. I mean, he can only go at that clip for so long. And to see Don Callis sort of, you know, milking the cash cow or the golden goose or whatever, especially with the little sprinklings of with the WWE talk. And, you know, they delayed his contract and they did this, that, and the third. I think they're a package deal. So if one goes, they'll all go. And with Nick being hurt, I mean, that puts everything on hold for 9 months. So that's going to be interesting. What's going to occur? The action in the ring with Kenny Omega, he did the Frankensteiner. I just was out of my mind. You know, styles make fights, body types, and the way people move and everything. I thought Cobb worked up.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Kenny didn't have to work down. Cobb worked up. And I thought it was a great showing for Cobb. And I thought an excellent, excellent match for Kenny. And him selling sort of his bumps and bruises and stuff, I thought that was
good.
That was strong.
The way he carries on, like, the injuries from week to week, every match. Because, you know, next week he'll be there and he'll probably have more tape on his ribs and maybe a new tape on his shoulder because Cobb targeted his shoulder. And the way he does that and just continues to build that into his story is fantastic.
Well, that wasn't the only body part, or that, yep. You know, he wasn't the only person that targeted that shoulder. So I think that will be, like you said, I think that'll be a theme going forward. And there's a lot of money to be made with the current configuration of the Blackpool Combat Club.
Yeah, I was a kid in a candy store when they get in the ring to beat up Blackpool Combat Club, comes back out to beat up Omega. You know, I'm like, okay, we're gonna get the beat down. And then Bryan Danielson's music hits, and I'm like, hell yes, okay, cool, here we go. And he gets to the ring, and for a split second, I'm like, okay, he's gonna be a face now. But then I'm like, no, he came out the heel tunnel, because if you pay attention, AEW has a face and a heel tunnel.
Yeah, the left and right. Yep.
Yep. So he came out the heel tunnel, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, who knows? Like, he's always, from the beginning since he's been there, he's come out the heel tunnel. And he made a joke about it when he first arrived that he comes out the heel tunnel. But
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Then he hit him. Man, that was the most stiff-looking Buseiko knee I have ever seen.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus. And even Kenny, like, just his selling is so good. I'm like, oh, my God, he's really hurt. And then he puts him in the
LaBelle lock.
Yeah, he puts him in that LaBelle lock. And the Blackpool Combat Club just beat him down. And you see Nakamura and Brandon come out, and they just get tossed away. Oh, man. So you can set up Kenny Omega versus Cesaro, which I don't think has happened. Kenny Omega versus Yuta. Oh, it's going to be great. Kenny Omega versus Moxley again. Kenny Omega versus Danielson again. Like, man. And then with the Young Bucks being hurt, now your mind starts going, okay, well, does Tony Khan now have to kick his ass into gear to go get Ibushi? Because now you can have the Golden Lovers reunite, and that's who the backup can be.
Uh-huh.
Is Hangman calling Jay White on the phone to try to get Jay White in to get some help?
That was my initial thought was, okay, you're not going to do anything with Will Ospreay. He's not leaving,
right?
You know, Aussie Open and all that stuff. He's hurt right now, so he can't be an effective member of any kind of faction. And, you know, he's gold over in New Japan. And the only other likely candidate is Jay White. So, I mean,
just had another idea. So you've got this stuff with Callis and Takeshita.
Uh-huh.
What if Callis is in with the Blackpool Combat Club to take out all the members of the Elite so he can take Takeshita and insert him into the Elite as his new, hey, you should work with this guy. So now he's putting Takeshita next to Kenny Omega as he wears down Kenny Omega and pushes up Takeshita, so that now you've formed this like pseudo Elite with Takeshita and Hangman and Omega while the Bucks are out. And then, like I said, bringing Ibushi, and you got the Golden Lovers with Takeshita, and oh, there's so many things they can do. It's just going to be, I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm going to do some homework over the next couple of days and see some of the other threads with New Japan, with the current card of AEW and Ring of Honor. Are there other connecting threads? And, you know, and then you have some fodder in there. Where does Adam Cole fit in? Like, he's just kind of orbiting. He needs something to sink his teeth into. Does he?
Wow. They kind of gave it to us at the end of the show, which sucked. I wasn't excited about that.
Yeah. I was like, why? You know, why? And, you know, we keep talking about we've got a Jericho problem. We need Jericho to go away for a minute. And
he's in three feuds.
Yeah. I mean, at first I was thinking, okay, the short term booking is he turns on Daniel Garcia for losing. I was like, oh, that's too easy. That's low hanging fruit. Okay, he's going to jump in the ring and hit the code breaker or something. No, that's too quick because Bebe just came back and he's in the ring with his girl. You don't want that smoke. And so then my mind starts going, okay, long-term booking, there's a lot of opportunities, but I didn't want to see Adam Cole leapfrog everyone, because I want to see what Starks is going to do. I want to see what Ethan Page is going to do. I want to see what's going to happen with the Four Pillars. And, you know,
And they could insert Adam Cole into the Elite Saga too, because prior to All Out, and actually prior to his injury, to be honest with you, there was an underlining thread of when Omega came back, it was going to be Omega and Cole fighting over the love of the Bucks, to say, you know, to put it that way.
Yeah.
Because he had kind of taken over the Elite, and then you had Red Dragon. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You had all those weird threads, but all that kind of fell apart. So they could go back and retouch that. Yeah. I'm not sure where they're going to go with it. I'm very intrigued. I think my thing is I thought the JAS was going to feud with the House of Black. So we were setting all that up, and then it's like they're going to drop that now. Or is Jericho still going to feud with Malakai Black in the House of Black, and he's going to feud with Adam Cole? Or is he about to turn on the JAS? Because when they walked up the aisle with Garcia, so just to recap, because we kind of jump right into it, Daniel Garcia, Adam Cole, for Adam Cole's first match back, really good match. The first pile driver, I went, oh, God, but he's okay, so that's good. And Adam Cole gets the win, big celebration, and then Jericho comes out and escorts Garcia out. But when they got to the top of the ramp for a split second, I thought Jericho was going to deck him. And I'm like,
Yeah, because I saw his hand tapping him on the shoulder, like, "Hey, I'm about to wear you out." And I'm like, "Oh,
yeah."
I was like, "That's too easy." And like the first 4 minutes of the Adam Cole Garcia match, you could see the nerves in Adam Cole, that he missed a couple of easy moves. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be a jerk. I don't even see that, because he'll settle down. You know, he'll make the magic, and that's exactly what he did. He missed a couple of steps. Anybody would have done that, probably even worse. And you know, he took some massive, massive bumps, and to be coming back after a head injury, I like the psychology of it. That's super smart to target that injury or right. that, you know, that body part that was compromised during his timeout. And just really, really good show. Daniel Garcia, I think, really got over, and it was good to see Adam Cole go over. And, you know, whatever happens. But like you said, if I don't want to see Adam Cole with, you know, in a program with Jericho right now. I don't want to see that.
So I'm kind of torn about it, because I think they'll have a hell of a good match.
Oh, yeah. It's just Jericho has a tendency to drag things on. Right. And you're just like, all right, I got it. So
I almost would like hope for, like, you know, Rampage. Cole comes out and goes, "Yeah, I'm done. Jericho, you want to show me, like, we're going to do it on Dynamite and we're done. We're not going to do this. Go through my gauntlet, like, call it out and call a spade and be like, nope, we're not doing this."
Spot on. Yeah.
I'm going to beat you. And then I'm moving on. Like, we're not doing this BS. And I think Cole's got enough pull in the back that he could do that. I think, you know, we can make that happen. We did skip the women's match. I just want to touch on it real quick, 'cause I thought it was a decent match. Willow Nightingale lost to Ruby Soho. In a straightforward match, the heels playing heel world. And then at the end, the heels playing the heel role. And then we had, the very end, Riho and Sky Blue come out to help. And then Jamie Hayter came out and just effing cleared that ring, man.
And then chased everyone. I'm like, shoo.
Oh, that was great. And I think that was improv'd. I think that was almost one of those production flubs where they should, like, they were supposed to cut earlier and they didn't. And she gets out and they're still standing there and she does that. Get, go. All right. F it. I'm going to chase you. Right, oh, man. It was good stuff. Yeah. I and Riho and Hayter. Ooh, that's going to be a hell of a match on Wednesday. This next Wednesday card's shaping up to be a good one. And I know what Tony Khan's doing, right? We've got WrestleMania. Everybody's going to talk WrestleMania. Monday, Tuesday will be WrestleMania. He is going to do something on Wednesday to make everybody go, "Geez, did you see blank?" and kind of try to turn the conversation.
Yeah. So just to, like, temper everybody's expectations. Okay. Yes, I am a WWE fan. I am a professional wrestling fan. The last time Tony Khan came out and said, "I have a huge announcement," he announced that very awkwardly too, that we're going to have a TV show. And I just, you know, it was kind of like, wah, wah. So I'm sort of tempering my expectations, because, like you said, you know, the Monday night after WrestleMania, you're going to have some folks just on a absolute rampage, whether it's Lesnar or if Lashley didn't get, you know, competition level that he wanted, because he, you know, he doesn't currently have a dance partner on the WrestleMania card, unless it's something's going to fall out in that Andre the Giant Battle Royal. So I think, so we're wrapping up that piece. You get Adam Cole, great victory, very, very good match. You get the Ring of Honor sort of celebration with the colors and the banners and everything falls. Then you get the MD comes out, and I didn't realize she was dealing with, like, a pretty significant back injury. So shout out to DMD for dealing with that. I've had a problem for, you know, 20 years or whatever. So for her to be going, and I hope she, you know, heals up and it's not something that's going to haunt her for the rest of her life. But it was a really good show. The crowd did a really good job. Don Callis, I don't know if he got stitches or staples, but my man is not, if he's on camera, anytime soon. Hoo-hoo-hoo! Man, crazy.
And he will. He'll play that up as part of the character thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, talking about DMD and that, did you happen to watch the All Access yet? AEW All Access?
I recorded it, and I'm on the fence, just some of the mixed emotions on it. And I'm like, that's stupid. I'm going to watch it. I think I'm going to watch it because I've watched, you know, Dark Side of the Ring. I've watched,
same thing,
you know, Tales of the Territory. I don't necessarily consider myself a smart fan because I've never touched a rope, and I love the suspending my belief. And, you know, I know the matches are scripted, but they are laying it in. Things go wrong, and I'm super excited to see it. And without giving it away, I'm going to venture to say it's going to be better than like Total Bellas, Total Divas, you know, that kind of thing. So
I had the same thing, right? So I watched the sneak preview, and my recording only got half of it because the NBA game went long, but I watched part of it and started watching it. And I had the same thing. I'm like, I feel kind of dirty watching this. Like
a voyeur.
And I think, exactly. Don't make it weird. I think part of it is because Dark Side of the Ring, Rivals, the AEW. Ooh,
yeah, that's a good point. So like all of those and Legends.
Heroes and Villains and Legends.
Yeah.
Most Amazing Moments. I think because those all happened in the past, they don't affect me as much. Whereas when I'm watching the Young Bucks and Britt Baker and Adam Cole, who are literally on the show I just watched, it made me feel a way. And I don't even know how to put a pin in it. Like, I don't know what it was. And because I watch Being the Elite, and you see the Young Bucks talk about their travels and all this other stuff, but it was almost like too much of the backstage stuff. Like, I am with you. I like to suspend my belief. And then seeing a Bloody Danielson talking to a Sammy Guevara after they just had a match was just like, ugh. Or like, you know, Ruby Soho going up to Ty after she bashed her arm and saying, hey, that hurt. Like, I was just like, okay, like, it made me feel icky inside. But at the same time, like it's like watching a car wreck because I'm like, I want to watch it. I want to know more. So I'm curious. Like, I'm going to give it watch the whole thing. I haven't watched it yet, but it's definitely it was definitely a weird feeling when I started it. And I'm tired of the bullshit criticism about, you know, hey, it's All Access, but they're not going to talk about the All Out stuff. No, they're not. They're under non-disclosure agreements, and lawsuits could happen. They're not going to talk about that stuff. Stop prying. Stop asking. Let it go. And because I was reading some crap on Twitter, and people were, oh, it's called All Access, but they're not, F off. Like, there are a couple people on Twitter that just get under my skin because they're so hypocritical on stuff. And it just bothers me. So I try to just ignore those people and keep going. Don't let it affect my life. I enjoy, like you, enjoy wrestling for wrestling. I like WWE sometimes. I like AEW sometimes. I dislike them both sometimes.
They break my heart. Pro wrestling, sometimes, right? You're like, grr.
Yeah.
But I think Tony's got some smart people in his ear that are telling him, all right, here's the line. This is as far as you go. And, you know, just like we won't ever see the Undertaker character ever again. Undertaker has moved on to the dark side or the Death Valley. You know, he's gone because Mark Calloway is now, you know, he's now Mark Calloway. He has a stand-up show that he does. So I think we'll see regular iterations of the American Badass. And, you know, so with that same vein, you know, he's going to have smart people going, ooh, bup, 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 bup. Let's back it up a little bit. You almost, you know, cross the, you know, like the...
Like, we're not going to see a production meeting where they're planning out the moves. Right. We're not going to see JR and Tony and Kenny and the Young Bucks sitting here going, all right, at 2 minutes and 30 seconds, I need you to, you know, feed him this so he could take this bump. So I don't think we'll get that far.
All right. Production, I need you to be at this angle. Remember when Jericho fell?
That part I'm okay with.
And really?
Yeah. So like that part, because you know they have production in the back. So that part I didn't bother me. Like when Christopher Daniels was on saying, hey, focus on Penta and Matt. Like, I'm okay with that because... If as a fan watching it, I'm going to go, wait, what is Penta and Matt doing? Like, that part I was okay with. What I don't want to see is the script. However, I'm not sure how much of it's not a work because the talks backstage with between Britt Baker and talking about, like, I think there's some working in there because she talked a lot about Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
And the rumors about Thunder Rosa coming back are starting to brew.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how much of this is partially a work that they're going to.
Yeah.
And I do. I want to set us up a podcast where you and I are going to talk about why I think AEW is very old school, because I think they work the fans like crazy. Even the Don Callis thing, I think, could be a work with him being bloodied open. I wouldn't put it past Don Callis to blade himself and then put out there on Twitter and everything that and tell the media that, oh, he took it the hard way just to get that sympathy built up.
Man.
Like, and there recently was a thing that came out. Wow. It was Brian Alvarez with the Wrestling Observer. Apologize if it wasn't, but released something about how when CM Punk posted that Twitter rant or that Instagram rant, he went on and took it down. Well, he posted something in their contracts. It flat out says they are not allowed to talk about injuries. They're not allowed to talk about bashing other wrestlers unless approved. So I'm like, well, if they're not allowed to talk about their real world injuries, like how much of it's really a work that we don't know about? So I'm curious about it all. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think anything you can do to protect the business, anything you can do to protect the girls and boys in the back, and to the little Ellie Jayer in me that was sitting watching Jerry the King Lawler throw a fireball, let's protect them as fans and girls that cry when they see Jungle Boy and Sammy Guevara, and the dudes, the little boys that see, like back in the day when Bret Hart would give the glasses or Cody's handing the weight belt. That's like something tangible that this kid is going to go, one day I'm going to be a professional wrestler.
Yes.
Yes, you will, son. Keep it trucking. So whatever they can do, I'm in it. I think this match card, this show helped me get ready for WrestleMania, because I know there's going to be a lot of sports entertainment. And I thought it was a really, really good showing for professional wrestling. I gave it 3.5 beards. I thought it was a lot of fun. I don't really have any huge complaints. It wasn't a card that there was so much going on, so much to consume, where I had to watch it like 3 or 4 times. I had to watch it twice, and I watched it twice, and it was like, okay, cool. And, you know, I picked up on some things the second time that I didn't pick up on the first, and I want to go back and watch a couple of episodes from a couple of weeks ago, because there's some things like what we talked about at work, or like over the phone or whatever. I was like, man, I do not remember hearing that or seeing that. Or, you know, they made some comments about the ambulance or whatever. I'm like, oh, I didn't catch that. So I'm gonna go back and be a little more, you know, look into it. Not to be critical, to like poke holes in it, but because I think they're giving you the Easter eggs. You just need to gather them and, yes, and bring them with you, because they're going to pay off later on and you're going to go, oh, yes. So, yeah.
And that's part of All Elite Wrestling that I like is, and just that's the elite, because they've been doing it when they did New Japan. They did it in Ring of Honor. But let's wrap this one up. I went 4 beards. I really enjoyed it. Wasn't a 4.5 like the other day. And I think one of the main reasons is it didn't have that all-star blowaway match like Vikingo. Mm-hmm. However, they hit, as Sidgwick would say, the trifecta. They hit a promo, they hit backstage, they hit story continuing, and the matches were good to great, like, but no 5-star matches. So I went 4 with it. Cool. I thought it was a great show. I very much enjoyed it from beginning to end. The Blackpool Combat Elite saga is going to be amazing as we continue through, and the Four Pillars, like, those are your two main stories, man. Plus the women's stuff, plus the Jade Cargill, like, we have so many stories going now. So I'm really digging it.
Yeah, I like how you like Rhonda's going on this damn the man rant, and AEW is investing in women's storylines. So I think, you know, there's a couple of strong women, you know, women's storylines with Jade and Taya. You've got Ruby and, you know, the insiders against the outsiders, and yeah, I'm feeling it. And I like the women factions. I think that's really cool. That's something relatively new in my head, even though, you know, there's been a couple, you know, in the past. So yeah, good stuff. 4 beards, legit. They definitely earned it. Got a 3.5 for me, so good stuff.
Cool. All right, guys and gals, you know what time it is. It's time for us to say, follow us, No Shave Man Cave, wherever you get your podcast from. iTunes, we're on all of them. I'm not even going to list them all because we're legit. Where if it's a podcast network, we're on it. Subscribe, hit those download buttons, and help support the show. If you are on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, follow us at No Shave Man Cave. YouTube is getting better. We're going to start putting these in a video format. I've got quite a library of the ones we've done in the past. I'm going to go through and start editing those up in the next few days and start dropping those in, so you'll start seeing those also. Appreciate all the support, and I'm going to give the hot tag to Ellie Jair for the closer.
Right on. Like you said, like, subscribe, continue to follow us. Thank you for all the support and love. If you or a loved one are in any kind of distress, please, please, you know, get the help that you need, whether it's at 988, whether it's through another means of counseling. I wish you all the best. And, like Shazam has recently said, he is loving himself. So you do the same, and we will be here loving you. So keep doing what you're doing. Look out for yourselves. Look out for one another. And we'll see you on the floor.
You've been listening to the No Shave Man Cave.
If it's pro wrestling, we're talking about it. Unless we see something shiny and wander off into the woods. If you hang around long enough, we'll eventually come back. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Fire off your comments and be sure to leave us a 5-star rating. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit us up on Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at No Shave Man Cave. Y'all be cool. And we'll see you next time on the floor.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.